praise, honor, and glory this morning in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. This morning we're going to do postscript 2. Last Sunday was postscript 1 when we talked about being a new creation in Christ. Now listen, a new creation, which we are, we're born from above. A new creation in Christ is more than just a theological position. Amen? Yeah, it's not only just a fact. New creations, you have an experience with the living God. So this morning, as we look in three different areas, we're going to be this morning in 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to return to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse being verse 14. So we're going to be in three different areas. But on this postscript too, as we look again, you know, to Paul and his incredible, open, transparent heart and the intimacy and so forth, this morning I want to talk to you about one of the most beautiful words that a new creation can, if he desires or she desires, to experience, and that is fellowship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? What an incredible, unbelievable honor God has given unto us. Now, you know the word koinonia. It means intimacy. It means communion. It means sharing or partnering or partnership, if you will, or having all things in common. Remember the early church in Acts 2:42. It says on that day there, in when Peter was giving his sermon, remember, and all those people were saved, it says in the Bible that they continued steadfastly, that word means devoted to, steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the word we're interested in this morning, and in the breaking of bread and in, of course, prayers. Now, can you imagine on that Pentecost day, the birth of the church, 3,000, and then there was 120 in the upper room. So 3,120 new creations in Christ Jesus. Can you just imagine that, what happened on that very day? Now listen, loved one, can you even imagine baptizing 3,000 people? Huh? Come on, what a glorious thing. And you know what was wonderful about that first day? Not one man-made program existed. None. You know, the church has gotten so far away from the early church, that excitement and that thrill and developing this program and that program. There were no youth programs back then. There was no senior citizen programs. I mean, well, later on in Acts chapter 6, you know, we get the widows being taken care of and so forth, which is a commandment from the Lord. But imagine all the incredible things that were happening. And, you know, I think about that, and matter of fact, if you really go back to the book of Acts, and it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching or doctrine, what book were they teaching out of since the New Testament had not yet been written? From the Old Covenant. Man, they loved the Word of God. They wanted to hear the Word of God. But what was wonderful is that the early church was devoted to koinonia, or the fellowship with one another, the fellowship with born-again believers, the body of Christ. Amen? When you fellowship and have intimacy, that's the word koinonia means that. When you have that intimacy with one another, that deep fellowship, that deep unity with people, with persons, with us. But can you imagine about having communion, koinonia, intimacy with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? There's unique ways for a believer to enter into those. Of course, we know God is one. He's manifested in three persons. But I think about that incredible honor that we have. See, it's one thing to know about Jesus and God our Father and our Savior. You know, just in other words, facts. Jesus 101. We know all what the Scriptures teach. But it's another to know Him. Amen? What did Paul say? Paul said that I may know him. Know him. That, the word know means intimacy. It means to more than just I know facts. It means I know my Savior. That intimacy, the power of the resurrection, he says, and the fellowship, that's that word koinonia, fellowship, he says, of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death. That's Philippians 3:10, I believe. And you know, when we think about that, I go, Lord, you are so incredible. You know, are you at 1 John 1? Okay, let's look at 1 John 1. Let's look at the fellowship this morning with the Father, if you will. Remember Jesus' prayer as you turn to 1 John 1. Jesus' prayer, his high priestly prayer in John 17:3, Jesus said this, and Father, this is eternal life, that they, meaning the disciples, all of us, that they may know you, may experience you, have intimacy and fellowship with you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So when we get to 1 John 1:1, look what John is writing. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have what? Heard, which we have seen, meaning the 12, with our eyes, which we've looked upon, we've examined, we've investigated, if you will. That word means, that's what the word examine means. And we did so for 3 years. And look at this one. And our hands have handled concerning the word of life, which of course is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen, John is saying, here's the deal, guys. He's writing to them in those days. He's writing to us. He says, I had a face-to-face ongoing meeting with Jesus Christ. That is a historical fact. He says, I was there. I talked with God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. He says, I talked with God. I ate with God. I heard the voice of God. I saw him murdered upon the cross. I saw him raised from the dead. I was there when he, on the mount, when he ascended into heaven in a great cloud. He said, I saw all those things, and the life, not a life, but the life, meaning Jesus, was manifested, made visible to all, and we have seen, we bear witness, declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we've seen, heard, we declare to you, and here it is, that you, the 21st century church, that you, the first century church, may have what? Fellowship with them, but more than that, and truly our fellowship is, not was, but is, present tense, with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things that I just read, these things, he says, I write to you that your joy may be full. Let me tell you something. When you fellowship with the Godhead, amen? When you really get in, I'm talking about you truly have intimacy. Loved one, that you know, you cannot be sad after you've been in the presence of God the Father. Do you understand me? There's a joy. That's why he says that you may experience that joy of fellowship with God the Father. So he says, listen, John says, you can have the exact same thing that we had. You can have that fellowship with God the Father. So many times we hear today in this false teaching realm that's increasing like never before, well, we need a new move to experience this, or a new anointing, or a new truth. No, we don't. We have the truth, amen? We already have the anointing that God has given unto us. And so John is writing here. He says, listen, we have this intimacy, and you know what? We want you to have the same fellowship, the same intimacy that we have. Now, let me ask you a question. When John penned 1 John, where was Jesus? Thank you. This side didn't know. No. No, he was in heaven, amen? Where was God the Father when John penned that? In heaven, Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, there at the throne of grace. Now, how is John then saying, we want you to have the same fellowship that we're having? This is the key right here. You see, I don't see God the Father, do you? But I know that he's here. I do not see Jesus the Son, but I know that he's here. I don't see the Holy Spirit. Is he here? Yes, so what is John saying? He's saying you have to trust in the unseen God who dwells in inapproachable light. You have to run to him. Listen, there is never, in other words, we fellowship with the unseen realm, meaning Jesus, our Lord, and so forth. Listen, there is not, have you discovered this yet? There's not a place that God the Father isn't. You read Psalm 139. It'll he is everywhere. Amen. It says in 139:7, it says, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? You can't. God is everywhere. Jesus is with us right this minute. Listen to me. Satan wants you to believe that you can't have fellowship with God or the Son or the Spirit. He wants you to believe that God is so far away from you. Oh, look at what's happening in your life in this. And where's God now? Well, I'll tell you where he is. The same place he was when he let his Son die for our sins. Amen? But he's here with us right this minute. And look what he says. This is the message which we have heard from him, meaning Jesus. And we declare to you that God is holy. He's unmixed light. God is light. God moves without making a shadow, someone once said. It says, and in him there's no darkness, not any darkness at all. And it says, here it comes. Now, if we say that we have koinonia, if we have partnership, if we have an ongoing participation and intimacy with God the Father, if we have fellowship with him, if we say that and we walk in darkness, look what John tells us. Then we're a bunch of liars. And not only that, we don't even practice the truth. Now, if you want fellowship, ongoing fellowship, not just in your prayer time, but fellowship, then he just told us right here that you can't be in fellowship with darkness and God at the same time. Amen? He says right there that those who practice an habitual, ongoing lifestyle, never-ending lifestyle of sin against the Lord, it says that we can't have fellowship with God. It tells us what we are having fellowship with. It says that we are now being intimate, not with God, but we're being intimate or having fellowship with darkness. But if we walk in the what? If we walk in God's light, as he is in the light, here it comes. We have what? Fellowship. We have intimacy. We have close mutual association. We have fellowship with one another, meaning you and God, okay? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, as present tense, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. So, you know, Amos 3:3, where it says, how can two walk together if they're not being in agreement? Or in Genesis 5:22, remember Enoch, when it says that Enoch walked with God and he was not found. In other words, he was gone. He was translated. When it says that Enoch walked with God, it means that Enoch had deep, ongoing fellowship with God the Father. How awesome that must have been in Enoch's life. Listen, the place of intimacy with God the Father, just stay in the light. Keep yourselves in the light of God, amen? Because you are indeed the light of the world. Let your light shine. And the way that we do that is we follow the Lord. Now listen, we have more, loved one, than just forgiveness. You know, praise God that we're forgiven. And if we do sin, we can run to God the Father, to the throne of grace. And it says that God is faithful. He is just to forgive us of all sin if we confess it and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Now, but we have more than forgiveness. Thank God we do. We have what we share, the very life of God. We're partakers of his divine nature right this minute because we are born from above. See, when we are in Christ, everything that Adam lost, meaning all the fellowship, Adam walked there in the garden. He was with the Lord, never afraid of God at all. Never doubted God. Eve never doubted God until the devil got involved. Man, they had perfect, ongoing fellowship. They talk one to another. Do you know what fellowship means? There's intimacy, there's communication, there's tenderness. I know you, you know me. I'm growing deeper to love you. And God's love, of course, is always the same. He loves us. And so we look at all of this, and you know, God wants fellowship with you. The greatest way, now listen to me. Do you want to have fellowship with God the Father? The greatest way to have koinonia, to have intimacy with our Father which art in heaven, the one that we pray, Jesus said, and say, hallowed be thy name, is to go into your prayer closet. Do you understand? That is the number one greatest way to have intimacy with him. where you close off your room, you turn off the lights, your computer or PC, whatever you have, is it may be on, but it's asleep. Do you have a little sleep mode? Thank you. So do I. I use it night, night. That's right. Don't talk to me, Siri. I don't want to hear you. No, I don't want to hear my next appointment coming up. I don't want to hear it because it talks to me. 10 a.m., you know, that sound, that guy. I've been trying to turn him off. He comes up and tells me every appointment, whose birthday, and I don't know where he came from. I'm being honest. I have gone through, never mind, that's another story. We're talking about fellowship. And so you turn everything off, and you know what? You go the greatest way. You go to God, our Father, in prayer. What does the Bible say? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. But you do it how? In faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God in prayer, any way, seeking him, he who cometh to God, you know, and seeks him must believe that he is, he's there. You're in your prayer room. I know you're there, Lord. Father, I know you're there. You've bid me to come. I can come by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ and my relationship with him. I draw nigh to you, Lord, and you cannot lie. When I come to you in my prayer time, you're there. And now when I draw nigh unto thee, you draw nigh unto me. See, it's by faith, amen? And if you don't come to God by faith in your prayer time, you might as well not pray, because it's impossible to please him, amen? It says, but he who comes to him and diligently seeks him, he is a what? He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you want that kind of fellowship, that type of intimacy, know that when you step into your prayer time, he's right there. His eyes are upon the righteous, the Bible says, and his ears are open to their prayers. He's right there with you. Fellowship. Have that intimacy. Don't let the devil distract you. Amen? Now, turn in your Bibles to, where did I say? 1 John. That's where we were. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me turn there with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, let's look at verse 4. Paul opening up to this carnal church that's divided and all kinds of troubles. We've already taught all of that, but he opens up in such a beautiful, loving, positive, and tender way. In verse 4, he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were wealthy or enriched in everything by him and all utterance and knowledge. Now, that's speaking of the supernatural gifts of the Spirit there. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation or the manifestation, if you will, of our Lord Jesus, who will confirm you to the end, and that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 9. Oh, the fellowship that we've been called into with Jesus, the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look what he says. God is faithful, or literally in the Greek it would read, faithful is God, by whom you were called into what? Not just fellowship. You look at that word, the. It's giving us a direct object, if you will. It says you have been called by God himself into the intimacy, into the koinonia, into the ongoing deep unity and relationship, the living relationship that we have, partnering with him, loving him, him loving us. It says you have been called by God Almighty in heaven into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Man, the one who has authority in all of heaven and all of earth. Amen? Now listen, are you experiencing that kind of intimacy, that kind of fellowship? Because that's what that word means. The Bible says that we've been called to inherit a blessing. The Bible says that we've been called out of darkness into his glorious light. But here it says, the God, again, who cannot lie, he says, listen, here's what I've done for you. I've called you, but I've called you into the greatest privilege, the greatest honor of any people on the face of the earth. You have koinonia with my son. I don't know how you feel about that incredible scripture. Is that a reality in your life? And another question would be this. Does that excite you, that you can truly have fellowship with the one John the Apostle said, we ate with him. We saw him with our own eyes. We've handled his flesh. We heard him. We, the voice of the living God. We saw him rise from the dead, ascend to heaven, and he's still with us. Amen? We're still having fellowship with the unseen Jesus who promised that he would never leave us and that he would never, ever forsake us. Do you remember what Paul said about that intimacy of the Lord? He says, Paul says in Philippians 3:8, he said, I consider everything a loss, meaning everything in his life. He says, because, here it comes, of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Knowing that deep intimacy, not facts, knowing him, that intimacy that we have as he walks with me and I walk with him. You know, Billy Graham, if you've ever studied out his life, I mean, there's a man, he's met kings and queens and he was a counsel to most of the presidents. You understand what I mean? He was asked this question. He says, Billy, what did you love most, Billy, out of all the years of ministry? And without hesitation, Mr. Graham said, it has been my fellowship with Jesus, to sense his presence, to glean his wisdom, to have him guide me, to have him direct me. This has been my greatest joy. To wake up when you're in the middle of the morning, ready to go, and your mind is still fuzzy, but you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Do you understand me? That deep intimacy when all things are quiet, when you get alone with our Lord. Listen, you're called into partnership with Christ to share his purposes, his plans, his life, his power, his love. That's what fellowship is. You have the honor and the privilege of facing a life that Jesus said that you're going to have many troubles. Do you understand? You're going to have problems in this life. That's exactly what Jesus said. You know, he says there are all kinds of tribulations. He says, but don't worry about it. I've overcome the world. You know, be of good cheer. You've overcome the world too. But you have the privilege of whenever and whatever you may be going through in this life. Your partner, see, communion or fellowship means partnership. The one who said he would never leave you, never relax his hold upon you, is right there with you, even till the end of the age, is what Jesus said. Or do you have fellowship with Jesus? Do you know that he's right there right now? He's right here, right this very minute. You know, the church at Corinth, the church today, I say this with tenderness, not as a judgment. It's just it's an observation that any halfway mature Christian can see. The church at Corinth, They completely lost sight of the here-ness and the now-ness of God. Do you understand? In other words, the inescapable presence of the living Christ was with them, and they just didn't get it. They didn't even know that Jesus was any longer in their midst. But Jesus is in our midst. Amen? See, he's right here. You were singing to him just a moment ago. He heard you. He was watching you as an individual. He doesn't see a crowd. He sees every person. He's numbered every hair on your head. Amen? He knows everything about you. When you went to bed last night, he was there. When you got up this morning, he was there. When you brushed your teeth, and I pray you did, he was right there. Amen? See, this fellowship that we have. See, if we, like the church at Corinth, when you lose the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. In other words, you lose sight of it. Well, how do you think fellowship is going to occur? The only way that fellowship with Jesus occurs is when you give him the right title. He is the Lord, Master, Kyrios in the Greek. He's our Lord. He's our owner. He owns us. Man, and I say, oh, Lord. Now, don't confuse relationship and fellowship. We are children of God. Amen? But we're not always in fellowship. Does that make sense? Oh, so we don't want to confuse that. But see, where we know that with God the Father, the fellowship is just getting in the light and being in the light as he is. But with Jesus, the light of the world, how are we to be in fellowship with him daily in our life? Well, fellowship with Jesus is only found when we follow him, when we go after him, when we travel with him. It says in John 8:12, Jesus said, hey, I'm to the Pharisees and so forth. I don't have time to set all that up, but it's who he was talking to. He says, I'm the light of the world. Here it comes. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have, or literally possess, the light of life. Jesus said, I'm the only light there is. I'm the only illumination in all of the world. And there is absolutely no other light. How did the children of Israel, when they traveled there in the wilderness, remember there was a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night? Well, it's the same thing in a way for us. In other words, when the cloud moved, you know, the people moved. Is that correct? They moved as one people, one body. And whenever the cloud rested, did all the people rest? Yes, they all took a nap. They all just rested. Okay, the cloud stopped. Well, you know what? Jesus, the light of the world, he guides us right now as one body, I pray, into the pilgrimage, the sojournment, if you will, that he has called us to. You know, whenever we follow the Lord, oh, loved one, listen, it's like the body of Christ on the move. He stops, we stop. He moves us forward, we move forward. We travel with the Lord. We experience that fellowship. See, all of us right now, we're in a race of faith. We're literally running to our homeland, amen? And did you know that one day, what's going to happen? All of us are going to be in that place that Jesus has prepared for us. It is the perfect place of perfect fellowship for all eternity. Man, you talking about being one when we get there. I mean, that is going to be incredible. Now listen. We follow Jesus, okay? But there's something you need to remember. Jesus was a friend to sinners and tax collectors, amen? Now, he didn't participate in that sin. Of course, he's without sin. And he didn't agree with what they were doing. He was wanting to save them. But he didn't fellowship with them. Do you understand me? He didn't have anything in common. Jesus fellowships with sheep. Are you one of his sheep? If so, he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be in everything that you do for him. Jesus said in John 10:27, he says this. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And then listen to what he says. I know them. I know them intimately. I have intimacy with them. I know them, he says. And he said, they follow me to fellowship with Jesus. I know them. That means fellowship. Jesus said, my sheep follow me. That's it. Sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd takes care of us. Amen? Now listen, the Bible says, Jesus said to them all, he said, listen, if any man, in Luke 9:23, if any man desires to come after me, if your heart is on fire for me, if you want me, then he says, here's what you have to do. You have to disown yourself, deny yourself, take up the cross daily. And then he says, I want you to follow me. I want you to travel with me. I want you to come after me. Now listen, when we do that, it means that we might end up in another country. It means that we might do things that we have never thought we would ever do. Like Peter, what did Peter do? He walked on water. That's what happens when you follow Jesus. You never know what's going to happen. But more than that, loved one, whenever we follow the Lord down that narrow path that leads unto life, it leads to victory, doesn't it? You see, following Jesus is intimacy. It is fellowship. And when you know the lowly heart of Christ, when you yoke yourself up with our Lord, that's fellowship, loved one. You follow me? That's fellowship. That means when we start thinking the mind of Christ, we start thinking like Jesus, acting like Jesus. And here's how you know when you're fellowshipping with him. You're walking through Kroger or Macy's or wherever you go in life, you know, and all of a sudden you see people that are hurting, and what happens to you? You start hurting. Now, why is that? You're having koinonia with Jesus. Does that make sense? You're having an intimate moment with Jesus. Your heart breaks to the things that break Jesus' heart. Now, that's when you know the Lord Jesus. You're having that deep fellowship. I love it. As a personal promise, Jesus said, man, if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. I thank God for that. Jesus said in John 12:46, I've come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not draw strength from being union with darkness. Now, if you're not following Jesus and you're a sheep, guess what? You're going to be walking someplace other than the light. And you don't want that. Loved one, listen to me. We live in a world that is bathed in darkness. The Bible tells us, remember John writes, he says, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, in the arms or the cradle, if you will. We live in a world where darkness, unbeknownst to many people, we live in a world where darkness is actually loved. It says, and Jesus said here in John 3:19, he says, and this is condemnation, light has come, meaning the only light, Jesus, come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. And the reason? His deeds will be exposed. You know, the Pharisees, the most religious people in all the world at that time, why is it that they, the light of the world, Jesus the Messiah, was right in front of them, and they didn't discern it? Why? Because they were more comfortable, amen, with darkness than with light. You see, to love darkness is to hate light. Why? Again, because it exposes our deeds and so forth. Jesus said again, he said, I'm the light of the world. You'll not walk, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but possess the light of life. Now listen, to follow Jesus, doesn't that mean that we obey him? Yes, that's an obedience thing, isn't it? Follow me. Mark 1:17, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah, we are to follow our Lord. So in obedience, remember what Jesus said in John 8:31. He said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then my life verse, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, if you have to get into God's word, because God's word is a light into your path, amen? Oh, we live in a dark world. How are you going to make it through a dark world? That's how you fellowship, loved one. You get into the Word of God, and Jesus, you make sure that the truth of God directs your life. Psalm 119:105, your Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's Word and God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, whatever, will never lead you into darkness, will never lead you into a place that you should not go? Oh, how we need that kind of fellowship. It says in Psalm 119:130, it says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Again, you follow the Lord. You fellowship with the Lord as you follow and travel with him. You'll never, absolutely never, you will not walk in darkness ever if you follow him. It says in John 1:4, it says, in him again was life, and he was the light of men. Now listen carefully. If you are not in fellowship, meaning you're wanting to fellowship, in fellowship with God the Father, then you are in fellowship with something else. If you're not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, going after him, following him, then you're fellowshipping with something else. And then we learned about the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Remember when I taught the last time, where Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:14, that incredible, the greatest benediction in all of the New Testament, okay, which actually proves the Trinity. God is one person manifested in three personalities. And it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have that grace down, remember, and the love of God, oh, how he loves us. And Paul says, and here it is, and the communion, or the intimacy, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now listen, the third person now of the Godhead, to be in fellowship with the divine helper of the church, to be in fellowship with the divine comforter, that's paraclete, man, to be in fellowship with the advocate, the counselor, the great strengthener, if you will, the one who illuminates every page of your Bible, if you want it to be so, and who, the one who comes to your aid and helps you to pray because you do not know how to pray as you ought, that intimacy, that deep fellowship, that participation with the Holy Spirit of God who takes us from glory to glory to glory and conforms us into the perfect image or the same image of our Savior. And not only that, everything that we do as we walk in the light, it brings glory to the Lord. And it says in John's gospel, Jesus said, listen, the Holy Spirit's going to glorify me, not man, not a ministry. He's going to glorify me. Boy, to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, turn in your Bibles. We're just about through. I know it's time to go to wherever you go. And home, mow the yard, I don't know. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 with me. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 25, talking about fellowshipping now with the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle writes to the church at Ephesus and to us as well, therefore putting away what? Lying. You know what lying is? That's the intent to deceive. Put it away and let each one, let every Christian, every believer, every new creation, let each one of you speak not lies but truth with his neighbor in the reason, for we are members one of another. Perfect illustration is this. You don't want your body, any part of your body, to lie to you. Amen? No, it's your body. It's all supposed to be for you. So that's what he's saying here. We live in a world. Man, the world is full of lies. It's full of fake news. Amen? It's crazy today. Crazier. Do you know that there is not a place on planet Earth, no matter where you go? Matter of fact, even when the astronauts, you know, we're celebrating Apollo there in July, you know, on the 50th year anniversary of being on the moon. If they were up there, guess what? And if they told a lie up there, I don't know that they did. But if they did, there is not a place on earth where man has been on the moon or on earth where a lie hasn't been told. Think about that. That's unbelievable, isn't it? No matter where man is, the Bible says all men are liars. You know, we're not like that. We're not like the world. We're not of this world. Amen? We're to speak the truth in love one to another. And not only that, be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't hold a grudge. If you're upset with your wife or somebody, and it's 9 o'clock, it's time to go to bed, put it under the blood. Amen? And then he says, nor give place to the devil. Topos in the Greek, place, meaning to give a portion or a specific marked off area to the wicked one, to give him an opportunity to defeat your life. Don't do that. Let him who stole, steal, that's that word klepto, like kleptomaniac, steal no longer. Don't break the eighth commandment. In other words, thou shalt not steal. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Here, let no rotten, vile, filthy, let no corrupt word. Don't have a filthy mouth, in other words. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your what? Out of your mouth. Jesus said, your mouth is connected to your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in here comes out here. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And here's what should come out, but what is good to build other people up, amen, for necessary edification. Why? Well, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Build them up. Verse 30, and do not what? You should underline that word. Do not vex. Do not make sad, as you hear me pray every communion service. Do not make sad the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you, Christian, were sealed until the very day of redemption. Loved one, the Holy Spirit of God is our guarantee, isn't it? He is our seal, meaning it denotes ownership. It denotes security. We are secured. We're sealed how long? Until the very end, loved one. We belong to the Lord. What Jesus started in us when the Spirit of Christ came into our hearts where we cried out, Abba, Father, loved one, he is working in us right this minute. He'll finish what he starts. It says, let us not grieve. Why would we want to grieve the one who intercedes for us? The Bible says, I think it's Romans 15:30, the Holy Spirit loves you. He loves us. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, the one who is alongside of us, the one who has come up on us, the one who lives in us, the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? Christian, listen, is the Holy Spirit, does he have perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace? And yet, we, the believer, because we're part of the body of Christ, we can make him sad. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. We just covered some scriptures. Lying, stealing, a rotten mouth, grieve the Holy Spirit. See, we're supposed to be having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Communion, Paul says. Oh, listen, that intimacy, knowing where we hear his inner voice speaking to us. And that's not all that grieves him. Look at verse 31. And let all bitterness, that's someone who broods over a suffered wrong, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, that's that outburst of anger, and clamor, very important word, I'll come back to that, clamor, evil speaking, meaning whispering and gossiping and division makers. And look what he says to do with it. Read it with me. Put away from you. Get rid of it. Strip it away from you. And also with all malice. That's that spiteful attitude of hatred. Get rid of it. You know, the word clamor is a word you should do a study on because it's a very important word. The word clamor here means literally the assertion of supposed, not yours, but supposed rights. In other words, you know, when I remember years ago, we put ropes back there, you know what I mean? So people would come to the front and not disturb your worship. So when they came in late, I'm sorry, they'd have a place to sit. And somebody got that rope in. If you're here, I love you. Got that rope, threw that thing, and sat down. Well, see, you thought that was your right. That wasn't your right to do that. Are you following me? See, that was clamor. That was your supposed assertion. You thought it belonged to you. You know what? Here's what people need to do in the church. You need to stop saying, I have the right to feel this way. Because you don't. Because you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you understand? Just strip those away. And look at this verse 32. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You want to be in the will of God? You want to have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God? I tell you what you need to do. You need to walk in verse 32, and you just can't imagine how close you will be getting to the Lord. Grieving the Holy Spirit explains probably, maybe, some of the reasons that Christians just feel miserable. I don't know that God loves me. I don't think God's going to answer my prayer. I don't have any peace. I don't have any joy. Well, maybe the reason you don't, and it could be because you're hurting, I understand that, but it could be you practice those things and you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and you know what? There's not any fellowship going on. You don't grieve the Holy Spirit away. He will never leave you, but you just grieve him. He's sad. Oh, loved one, listen. You learned last time we were together, or whenever it was I taught on the last verse in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians. Remember what we talked about the Holy Spirit of God? That the best way is to practice agreement. Amen? You want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you practice agreement. And like I quoted Amos 3:3 early, where it says, you know, how can two walk together if they not be in agreement? You see, he really is here. See, I'm either going to be an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to be a fisher of men. I'm going to operate in the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to use the supernatural gifts that God's placed in my life. If I don't, do you know that that grieves the Holy Spirit? We're not walking in agreement, are we? Do you remember that? And not the second thing I said to do is you have to practice awareness in your life. You have to do that. He is right here. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. You can't grieve a force or a language or an essence, and you can't grieve someone or make someone sad unless they love you. See, he loves you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That tells you that the Holy Spirit has emotions, meaning has feelings. Can you believe I can make God sad? I hate that. I do. I hate it. The one who loves me. That grieves me just thinking about it. But I know that sometimes I do. And I hate it. Oh, listen. You know that the Holy Spirit, he hurts. He sees us. He hovers over us to remove the darkness, to conform us to Christ. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, I think it's what, Hebrews 10:29. I don't know, Hebrews 10 something. It says that the Holy Spirit, you can insult the Spirit of grace. That word literally means it's like spitting in the face of God. I don't want to do that. Man, I don't want to do that at all. You see, we have right now the Holy Spirit, an ever-present friend that is for us. And you know something, loved one? If you'll never have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you're not aware of his feelings, you'll never be aware of his presence. See, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm near to close. Let me just finish. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Everything in this life, no matter how wonderful, glorious, it doesn't matter, is going to leave us dead and helpless because it's of the flesh. Amen? But oh, when we are in the Spirit, I'm telling you, when we have the life of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, following the Lord Jesus. Loved one, listen. It says in John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep, or you will keep, you will value, treasure my commandments. And I will pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. Another just like me, in other words. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him. You know the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, for he's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. For he dwells with you. The word is with is para, right here. He's right here, right there by you. He dwells with you. He says forever and will be in you. I love this. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How? The Holy Spirit. I will presence myself with you by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know how you feel about that. That's fellowship, loved one. Jesus says in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And here it is. And I will manifest. I will make myself real. I will manifest myself to him. That's that unseen becoming real in our hearts. And he says, Jesus said, and if anyone loves me, he will treasure or he will keep my word. I love this. And my Father will love him. And here it comes. You want to have fellowship? Listen to what he says. When you keep his word, when you follow the Lord and obey him, it says, Jesus said, and we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we will come to you and make our home with you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the most powerful in the entire universe. I will live in your house. We're the temple of the Lord. I want to live with you. I'm going to make my home right there in your heart. I'm going to make my home in your home. I'm going to be with you. Loved one, that, the home is a place of fellowship. Amen? It's a place where we can sit in our lazy chair and we're not being judged and we're just sitting there loving our family or me even being or being by yourself. He said, oh no, I'm going to make my home with you, that place of fellowship. Now, I opened with this word, a new creation is more than just a theological position level. And that is your position. You are new, brand new. But it's an experience. You have been given the incredible privilege of going to God in fellowship. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You have been given the privilege to look down the narrow path that leads all the way to heaven wherein there is life. And Jesus says, come on, follow me, travel with me. I have an adventure for you. I'll be right there with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then you have the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart, alongside of you, in you, and happy, in the, up on you, giving you the power to be his witnesses into all the earth. That is fellowship. And if you're not experiencing fellowship, you need to get on your knees and you need to ask God, oh God, what's wrong and what am I doing? And I want back in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word this morning because your word, oh God, is greater than anything in this world. We love you and we praise you, Father, that we can come to you anytime, openly, secretly, in the middle of the night, with tears, without tears, with hurt and heaviness and with joy. You always receive us, Lord, always, because the throne of grace is the place that no charge is leveled against the believer. I pray this morning if there's anyone here and Jesus Christ is not their Lord, they would cry out to him right now. They'd cry out to the Father and say, oh, Father, save me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And he will save you. We love you, Lord. We love you in this wonderful place that you've paid for, that you've given unto us as stewards of her to take care of for the next generation. There's no one like you. I love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.